you grabbed us right in the beginning of our podcast, Conversations with My Dummy, and I'm your pal, Steve Charney. We got a good program for you today, good podcast. Andy Breckman is doing one of the funniest songs I have ever heard called Railroad Bill. Love it. And I'll be singing a song with Harry, and...
Wait a second. Harry, what happened to your arm?
My arm? What arm?
Your right arm, it's what? It's gone! Your right arm is gone! Ah! My arm is gone! You mean you never noticed? I was busy! I never noticed! How could you not notice that your arm was missing?
I'm made of wood! I don't have nerve endings! I don't feel pain! If something on me falls off, I don't feel it! Steve! My arm is gone!
What happened to it?
I don't know! I have no idea! What am I gonna do? I can't walk around like this! I need that arm!
Oh, okay, let's be calm. Think back. Now, when did you last have it?
Well, I know I had it yesterday morning.
Well, how do you know?
Because yesterday morning you were moving those boxes out of your house and you asked me to lend you a hand, and I did. I lent you my right hand. And I'm almost certain that my arm was attached to it.
That's right, I remember. Okay, do you remember having your arm any time after that?
Well, let me think. I do remember seeing it yesterday evening.
When?
When you got stopped for speeding and the cop asked us to get out of the car and he asked us if either one of us was armed and I said yes.
You know how that wasn't funny? You almost got me arrested. Don't ever do that again.
How was I to know he was talking about guns?
And then you offered to show him your arms. I thought we were going to jail.
And then he handcuffed you.
All right, let's forget it.
Then he laughed at your driver's license picture.
Okay, let's forget it.
Then he laughed at the wreck you were driving.
All right, forget it.
Then he laughed...
All right, forget it! Let's get back to the arm business.
Maybe I should check the armory.
Did you have the arm when you went to the movies?
Definitely.
How do you know?
Well, because the girl sitting next to me offered to break it.
All right, how about when you got home? Did you have it then? Did you have it then?
I'm thinking. Yes. I had it in the bathtub.
Are you sure?
Yes, because wood floats.
What does that have to do with anything?
My arm. It was floating in the bathtub.
Why was it floating?
I had taken it off.
Ah, so there's your answer. Though I have no idea why you would have taken it off.
Well, it was being a boat. I was using my arm as a boat.
You took it off because you were using it as a boat, and you obviously forgot it and left it in the tub, and when you got out of the bath, I can't believe I'm having this stupid conversation with you. How could you do that?
I was playing.
We're supposed to go out to eat later. How are you going to hold your fork? You're right-handed. What in the world are people going to say when they see you without your arm?
Hi, Harry. Where's your arm?
I don't believe you. Sometimes your irresponsibility drives me bananas. I suppose you think I'm going to drive all the way home again before we go out to dinner just to pick up your arm.
Well, I'd do it for you if you left your arm at home.
I take care of my limbs. I don't let them stray.
Plus, it's a lot harder to get your arm off than mine.
You're just going to have to cope without it.
Oh, Steve, come on. Be a pal and go get my arm for me. I can't go to dinner looking like this.
Forget it. It's too far to drive and we don't have time anyway. You'll just have to make do.
Make do?
Yes, we can rig something up.
Like what?
Like a prosthetic device or something, a false arm, just to get you through dinner. If we do a good job and you keep a low profile, maybe no one will notice. Let's see, what's around here that would make a good false arm? Hey, wait, look, how about this? All right, look, man. Swing arm lamp. It even has an elbow on it, kinda. I'll clamp the end of the lamp onto your shoulder, like so. Hold still.
Right, Steve.
Tighten the screw in. Not bad. Not bad at all.
I still can't hold my fork.
Yeah, but now you'll be able to see it. If the restaurant is too dark, we'll plug in. This definitely puts a different light on the subject.
Oh, very funny. Look, it doesn't even match my skin tone. It's a blue lamp.
Yeah, try to swing the lamp. See if you have any control with it.
Sure, Steve. How's this?
Ow! Ow! You just hit me on the head and broke the bulb. You're gonna have to work on hand control.
But that's what I wanted to do.
I'd like to do a tune off my next demo. Back to reality here. Our railroad Bill was a hard-living man. He used to take his women two at a time. Everyone agreed he was the baddest engineer that ever driven down the Santa Fe line. His name was known from the folks back home to the tippy top of Telegraph Hill. And all the little boys, when they were sneaking cigarettes, they used to dream about the railroad Bill. Oh, one day Bill was walking along and he saw a kitten stuck in a tree. When he saw it was the matter, he ran to get a ladder to set that kitty cat free. Bill said, no, ain't gonna do it, ain't gonna climb up no tree. This is a stupid, stupid song and no folk singer's gonna make a fool out of me. A said one day Bill was walking along and he saw a kitten stuck in a tree. Oh, and he saw what's the matter. He ran to get a ladder to set that kitty cat free. And Bill said, no, ain't gonna do it. Ain't gonna do what you said. This is a stupid, stupid song, and as far as I'm concerned, that cat can stay there till it's dead. I said, wait a minute, Bill, you can't argue with me. For God's sake, I just made you up. I got the pen in my hand, I want you up in that tree. I want that cat unstuck. Bill said, no, I hate cats. Ain't gonna climb for no cat. He said, why don't you have it save some beautiful girl who's been tied down on a railroad track? I said, maybe there'll be room in the eighth or ninth verse, but right now I want you up in that tree. I'm the writer, goddamn, I got the pen in my hand, and you're supposed to listen to me. He said, you asshole! Why should I listen to you? You should be listening to me instead. He said, I'm a railroad man, and if I was real, I'd separate your face from your head. You ungrateful brute, I cried, you pushed me too far. I gotta show you I can do as I please. So an earthquake came, and it shook the whole terrain, and it brought Railroad Bill to his knees. And then a tidal wave broke, and everything got soaked, and Bill was almost completely washed away. And then a big green monster from the planet Neptune landed and bit Railroad Bill on the leg. I got the pen in my hand. I can do what I want. I'm a bright new young talent on the rise. So get your ass up that tree or I swear you ain't gonna get out of my folk song alive. He said, you don't scare me. You might be funny, but you don't scare me. And if you don't leave me alone, I'm gonna tell everybody where you stole this melody. But before he could speak, his tongue fell out. He could not make a sound. Suddenly, he jumped on top of me, he grabbed me by the neck, and he pulled me to the ground, and he hit me in the stomach, and he hit me in the face real hard, and I think he almost broke my nose. Just then, a lightning bolt came out of nowhere, hit him right between the eyes, and killed him instantly. The cat came down from the tree, had a bowl of warm milk, went to sleep for the night. Railroad Bill is survived by a wife and three small children. Dear God, I love to write. Whoa!
Harry left his arm at home, in the bathtub to be precise. He took it off and was playing with it as a boat. Forgot to reattach it before he came to the show. So you're telling me that your arm is still in the tub?
That's right. I've got a little sail on it.
Well, we don't have time to go back and get it before our dinner engagement, so I first replaced his arm with a swing lamp. I thought it looked rather nice on you.
It was awful. I want my arm back.
I took that off, and now I just attached a baseball bat with a mitt at the end of it. See, the mitt can kind of be a hand.
I hate it! You might as well use a weed whacker for my arm!
Hey, that's a good idea.
No, it isn't! I want my arm back!
Wait, I got a good idea. Why don't I take off your foot and put it where the arm is supposed to be?
Hey, that is a good idea.
Sure, pull down your pants.
Do I have to? I'm embarrassed.
No one can see you.
All right. There.
Pull them all the way down.
Come on, Steve, I'm embarrassed!
You have nothing to be embarrassed about. I'm a doctor.
All right. There!
Now just pull off your leg here.
Oh, you're just pulling my leg.
No, I'm really doing it.
I know.
So why do you say I'm pulling your leg?
Because you are pulling my leg.
I wouldn't pull your leg. I'm serious. I'm pulling your leg.
Don't feel a thing.
Because you're a puppet.
A puppy?
There. Got it off. Now I'll attach it to your shoulder. Like so. And voila. You're like a new man.
If I played soccer, do you think they'd let me hit the ball with his foot since it's now an arm?
It's a good question. But since your foot is now an arm, I don't think you'll be playing much soccer unless you plan on hopping down the field. You're missing a leg now, so to speak.
Well, maybe we should go get the arm from home and put it where my leg should be.
I don't think so. Look, if you're going to use that foot, I better take the shoe off.
All right.
Oh, man, look at those socks!
Those are my golf socks!
Why?
They have 18 holes in them.
Let me get that sock off. Harry, what happened to your toes?
Huh? Oh, yeah, it's a long story.
Well, tell me.
Well, I was cutting my toenails the other day, and I sort of got carried away.
Your big toe looks like a bust of George Washington.
I started whittling. I couldn't help it.
Why is everything such a fiasco with you? Even going out to dinner turns into a big ordeal.
Steve, come a little closer, will you?
What?
A little closer.
What? What is it?
Just a tad closer.
What? What?
Ouch! You just slapped me. I mean, kicked me. I mean, slapped me. I mean, kicked me. I mean... Oh, man!
for another commercial.
If you want to support this program, go to patreon.com/Steve Charney. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And pledge a buck a month. Maybe less, maybe more. Anything will be helpful for me. And that's all I got to say. Patreon.com/Steve Charney. I could say it a dozen times, but all you got to do is rewind it if you didn't hear it properly. Thanks a lot.
First.
All right, Steve. The mosquitoes wore tuxedos. The black flies wore black ties. The bride was a spider from the lake. The groom, he was a snake. They were going to a wedding in my Aunt Lucy's bedding. And she was the wedding cake.
Good.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
You don't feel itchy, Auntie, do you?
There'll be a big reception when they dance on her midsection and the bugs march down the aisle.
My turn, Hat.
The little honeymooners were nice and cozy in her bloomers. The guests all took their places in Aunt Lucy's pillowcases. The little beasts had such a feast, they danced and flew and soared. Oh, while Aunt Lucy snored.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
You don't feel itchy, Auntie, do ya?
There'll be a big reception when they dance on her midsection and the bugs march down the aisle.
Your turn again.
The bees were ill at ease because their BBDs had fleas. The cootie did its duty as the usher at the door. The stink bugs raised an odor when my Aunt Lucy rolled over and they all crashed to the floor.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
You don't feel itchy, Auntie, do ya?
There was a big earthquake when my head began to shake and the bugs marched down the aisle.
I decided to run home and get Harry's arm.
Well, that was quick.
Seems he left it in the bathtub when he was using it as a boat, and it turned out to be easier to just go get it than trying to replace it with a swing lamp.
Well, you still have my leg where my arm is supposed to be.
Sorry, we didn't have time to put your leg back, son. I put your arm where your leg used to be.
Where my leg used to be, so my arm is for now a leg and a leg for an arm. I feel like a jerk.
Well, you look like a jerk.
Will you put my arm back where it's supposed to be, please?
Here, I'll just pop your head off here.
Hey, what are you doing? Ow, Steve!
All right, now I'll put your arm here where your head used to be.
Steve, I've got an arm coming out of my neck now!
And I'll put your head down here. Well, you're missing a leg.
I'm not missing a leg. The leg is where my arm was.
There.
I look like a freak. My head is where my leg usually is, and my arm is where my head is supposed to be. My leg is an arm. What's going on here?
Tell you what's going on. I'm trying to write a funny sketch.
Why are you doing a lousy job? No one thinks this is funny.
I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
I know you. I know what you think is funny, and changing my limbs even to you is stupid. Now put my head back where it's supposed to be.
Here, I'll take off your other arm.
What are you doing?
Taking off your other arm. Ah, I'll attach it to your chest.
You're just digging yourself into a deeper hole. I say we stop this routine. It's painfully dull.
Here, I'll rip off your leg.
I'm putting my foot down right now. Ow! Ow! Ow!
You really shouldn't try to stand up when you only have one leg and your head is where the other leg is.
My head! It's done. You wanted a 3-minute routine in this part of the show. You got one. Now can we stop?
Well, I guess.
You've run out of ideas anyway.
I suppose.
Put on a record and change everything back to the way it's supposed to be so we can go to dinner later.
Hey, that's a good idea. I think I'll leave you the way you are, at least until we go to dinner. Everyone will get a big chuckle and, well, we'll have something to talk about over dinner.
You are so cruel.
Now it is time for Strange Facts. Yes. Some good ones. I've been reading from Secrets of the Night Sky, Bob Berman's book. The most amazing things in the universe you can see with the naked eye. This is put out on William Morrow Books, and I'm sure you can find it in any decent bookstore. Highly recommend it. It's quite good. A lot of very funny and very educational. For instance, you want to hear a strange fact. You want to hear a fact that's just going to blow you away. Here we go. The Cygnus Superbubble. Now, this is an entity in space. It has a diameter of 1,000 light years, a dimension that cannot be treated casually. To appreciate such enormity, let's say we drop suns inside of it at the rate of 1 billion a second, okay? With the sun itself, 1 million times larger than our planet Earth by volume, okay? So the sun is 1 million times larger than Earth, and we're dropping 1 billion of those in a second. Filling anything with suns at such an impressive billion per second rate has to make a serious dent at plugging any cavity. Yet the project would take 900 trillion years. Holy cannoli. Harry, put on that music.
Right, Steve. Sorry. Little late on the uptake there.
Okay. Now, just traversing it would be a challenge. If our rocket technology ever improves to the point where we can travel 1,000 times faster than we can today, the pan bubble route would still take 6 million years. You'd run out of things to read. In 1993, even larger bubbles were found in the distant galaxy NGC 46631, probably also caused by supernovas. The largest spans were some 10,000 light years, so that it could swallow up even the Cygnus superbubble 1,000 times over. It is incredible the size we're talking about here. But perhaps we're getting jaded with mere unimaginable enormity, Bob Ehrman writes. We're ready for another giant leap into the fantastic bubble kingdom uncovered in the 1980s. These largest holes in the entire universe would overshadow the Cygnus superbubble the way a ball 8,000 feet in diameter compares to a marble. These are the largest structures ever detected. Oh, man. Large bubbles of emptiness shouldn't amaze us. However, the cosmos, after all, is closer to nothing than our best laboratory vacuums. Smear everything out, and there are fewer than 100 atoms per gallon of space. Nothing. The richness in our neighborhood, the creamy fullness of whales, skyscrapers, and even clouds, is an exception, an oasis in the great enchanting emptiness that is our home. Lovely put. See, I told you it's very well written. Very well written book. Okay, it's really just one big, humongous, strange fact that I just gave you. About as big as that super bubble. Whew, that's a big super bubble. Right here.
Right, Steve. Come on, could you change my arms and legs around, please? I feel like an idiot.
You look like an idiot, but actually it's kind of fun.
No, Steve!
We're going to go out to dinner like that, and we'll see if we can get, you know, any conversation going.
Oh, man.
Conversations with My Dummy is produced and written by me, Steve Charney. And please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, TuneIn, Google Play. Hey, visit my YouTube channel, which now has over 1 million hits, I think. Yeah, almost 2 million, actually. And, of course, on patreon.com/Steve Charney, where you can become a patron of the show for $1 a month. I want to thank Kelly Kenyon for helping me write this bit. This podcast is very good. I want to thank Andy Bradman for that excellent song, Railroad Bill. Website, stevecharney.com. On Facebook, search for Steve and Harry, Conversations with My Dummy. And if you like this podcast, spread the word around, right, man?
Yes, Steve. Okay, here's the joke.
All right, what's the joke?
What would you call the condition of a male dinosaur who has trouble mating?
I don't know what.
Reptile dysfunction.
Reptile dysfunction. I like it. Thanks, Norman Bacon. He wrote it.